This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Wednesday to you. You are indeed in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. You heard the man, John Lopez, Reginald Attula, and Figgy Fig.
You guys are getting some great answers for this
question. Yes, we are.
Yeah, already, I love it.
And also, I do appreciate that you did the thing that everybody does unintentionally where they ask the question that is a security question. Which is, what was your first car?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
wow.
Oh,
so yeah. Now everybody knows?
Well, you're not. To some degree.
I'm not telling you my
mother's
name.
Your password.
Yeah, right.
Would you happen to let us know what the name of the street was that you grew up on?
Your mother's maiden name.
No?
All right,
which street did you grow up on?
I've actually given that name out before, the name of the street, because I like to illustrate the hard scrabble streets of Connecticut that I grew up on.
There you go.
When you grow up on Winterset Lane, you've been toughened up.
There's someone somewhere that has like a document.
Yeah. He's
been giving us more information. I'm just waiting for the maiden name. That's all I need.
The fellas over on Winterset.
All right, let's get going on a Wednesday. As Sean referenced, the text line always available to you, 713-572-4610. Get involved with the program. Anything, everything that you want to react to, please do. Also, appreciation to the Mokarem Injury Law Firm for bringing you the live streams, both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, and on Twitch, 610 Houston. A return.
Yes.
We learned about this morning. I know that I first saw from Diane Rossini. I know that it's been substantiated by Jonathan Alexander, DJ Bienemy, all the cavalcade of folks that cover this team very closely. Welcome back. Foley Fatukasi. Foley Runsho Fatukasi is returning the defensive tackle. I don't think I saw any like details on what the number would look like,
no.
But I don't know. I can't imagine that would be anything exorbitant. But he's back. And for one, I do want to talk about what that means, but I also, that made me think, because I immediately went to a place, and I'll give this away right up top. That there's a level of peace within me. Because interior defensive line, I won't say that I was scared about it or anything. But that was a place that I was a little concerned about.
It was a question.
It was a little bit of a question. And what concerns or questions do you still have with this roster at this point, after the draft, after free agency for the most part? Although, as you see, there's still things that can happen. 713-572-4610.
Well, it was a question in free agency. It was a question going into the draft. It was
absolutely
a question after the draft. So yeah, it's funny how that one guy can make the entire unit look better. Because now you got Mario Edwards there. He's going to mix in, obviously. You've got Sheldon Rankins. It just bolsters it a little bit.
Yeah, and I think my concern started with Sheldon Rankins. Like, they brought him back, and I know that he has been in the system. He has a familiarity with it. He is a veteran player.
Mm-hmm.
That year in Cincinnati, I understand that it's a different place. Like, all sorts of things could have happened that affected his inability to be like particularly successful there. But you have to start asking the question, at what point are you seeing maybe a fall off possibly or what have you? And it felt like that was going to be some level of placeholder to some degree with all due respect to him, in a place where now they would look to then see if they could upgrade that position, right? And find somebody who could give you what you're looking for in that one tech, where somebody that could eat some bodies, right? Eat some space when it comes to the run, but also maybe give you a little bit of additional push.
Yeah.
And you didn't have that, right? That was one of the things that we looked at as a potential need, quote unquote, going into the draft, and they didn't get. So I felt like, oh, they didn't really do a lot of addressing that interior. And I don't think that you were going to be bad, but I was like, is this going to be a little bit of a half step back for that interior? And what does that do? We've seen this defense with Foley there. Last year, it was incredible. I know that he had some injury issues, but I think that this is where without Rankins, injuries, maybe. Now it gets interesting, and I'm like, all right, there's a level of peace because we've seen what this defense can do with this complement on the interior, and boom, we're back to cooking with grease.
Yeah, look, and so you look at the depth chart, you look at the roster, and your question is, where might there still be some questions?
For sure. Right? For sure.
I mean, tight end is it.
That's the only one for you?
That's it. Look, the offensive line is going to be a place we watch, but we've talked about it. There's 17 players there. I've got to believe that they will find 5 or 8 on game day. Seven or eight will be active on game day. That will be good enough, especially with the weapons that you've added at wide receiver, with the running back you've added. Obviously, you even drafted a quarterback, for God's sakes. They might compete in the backup role. But
shout out to Graham Mertz.
Yeah, shout out to Graham Mertz. Am I being just too optimistic here? I think they're good, except for tight end.
I think I thought the low-hanging fruit would remain there, and I understand what you're saying, that there's a whole bunch of guys there. I think that because of the import of it, of the offensive line, the foundational level of it, and also because of the ways that we saw it fail last year, understanding that there's all sorts of different variables in there, I'm still not in a place where I'm comfortable. It would be crazy for me to go through free agency in the way that we talked about this offensive line and the draft in the way that we talked about this offensive line. And you got one piece that I feel great about you bringing in, and we're getting some information that makes you look at it and go, he might not even be somebody that factors into the offensive line in a big way to start and say, I don't have concerns there. But that's there. I think I was right there with you. I went, tight end. Tight end is one of those spaces because, I mean, you have Dalton Schultz, who I think is a pass catcher. I still feel good about, and I won't say great about, right? I think that there's still instances where I look at him and I go, as a dude who we know you're not a blocking tight end, that's never been in your bag, you know, and I understand that there's been instances where he might have been either miscast or put in situations where he's had to do more than what I think would be reasonable or a reasonable ask of him. Even with that being the case, there's times where I look at him as a pass catcher and I go, I probably expect more if you are going to be the pass catching tight end.
Yeah.
Right. So there's that. You have Cade Stover, who I think he has the profile of a player that would fit really well with what you're trying to do. And if he has that step forward, it'd be great. There's an if on that step forward. And then you've got Brevin Jordan, who we just haven't seen enough of, especially due to injuries. And what is the chance that that absolutely continues? That's a non-zero chance. And then what, Irv Smith, Luke Lachey, who is a more developmental. There's questions on how that goes, especially because – With the question that we have with offensive line, tight end is typically where you look at to maybe add in, except I don't look at any of those guys that I feel like are great adding in help-wise, and probably I would like it to be where the offensive line is settled enough to where those tight ends can kind of, you know, disconnect from the line and have a little bit more, a little bit more freedom to kind of operate more as pass catch.
But even at tight end, you could squint your eyes a little bit and say, I could see where they will be a functioning tight end group. And the biggest reason for me is when it comes to this offense and what they are strong at, especially, you know, coaches, it's the tight end position. I mean, Nick Caley, you know, the one thing that he knows, you can question him, and he's even talked about, I'm going to need some help in the passing game. I'm going to be leaning on guys in the passing game. You can question maybe to a degree the offensive line, although they had confidence in Cole Popovich that they brought him back. And by extension, a tight end coach knows a lot about the offensive line. But the one thing he knows, like we can question Nick Caley, is tight ends. He's been doing it his whole life. So even there, you could kind of go, okay, maybe he sees something. That's his strength. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I do still come back to he's the head coach, not the tight ends. Or sorry, the offensive coordinator. And not the tight ends coach. And I guess in a way, it does seem like to some degree when you're the offensive coordinator, especially on a team where you have a defensive head coach, you are kind of the head coach of the offense. I'll be interested to see what that dynamic ultimately looks like, because it does feel like D'Amico Ryans has looked up. And I mean, he was in some ways burned by Bobby Slowick, and I think giving him that leeway to do what he wanted to do. And I think we've gotten enough data and evidence in the way of that did not feel like it went the way that you wanted to. I don't think there was a proper delegation and things of that nature. So I will be interested to see how much D'Amico Ryans has kind of oversight over what's happening offensively and what that ultimately looks like. But yes, he's the offensive coordinator and he has a lot more responsibilities. And there is that level of delegation that's necessary from the offensive coordinator. And so I do wonder how much, like, he could probably have some edicts from the top from things that he has seen and best practices that he has gotten a feel for. I do wonder how much that translates to the guys on the field, on top of the fact that they are the guys who they are. I don't know that he's going to change who they are with some tips and tricks.
But make
we'll
them
see.
Better?
We'll see.
Marginally better even?
Sure. That is something that I very much hope for, and I think I agree with. How about this? This comes in on the text line. Again, 713-572-4610 is the number to text. From the 979. Hope they bring in a kicker. Fairbairn, they said Fairbairn sucked last year. I don't know that that's a fair accounting of how he played last year. However, I won't say that it was like perfect by any stretch of the imagination.
He had some bad times
last year. At the end of the year, you lost confidence in the kicker. You know what? They probably will bring someone just to compete and put tape out there. And then you never know. You know, after that, but Fairbairn's the kicker.
So so you feel confident and comfortable there that that was a blip on the radar and that you'll have a return kicking.
Every time Fairbairn lines it up in crucial situations, I'm going to still be a little bit reticent. Kind of like our question of the day is going to be at 10:40, you know, kind of fear the worst. But I do think he's the best option they have and they have confidence in him. I really do.
Yeah, I very much would like to see that kicking competition, if for no other reason than just. It would mean that he is kicking better going into the season, right? And I understand kicking is such a cerebral kind of thing that, like, you know, you start talking about the types of things like the yips or what have you, and that can take you out of the way. I think for some reason last week we mentioned, or was it earlier this week, we mentioned Roberto Aguayo. Mm-hmm. And that he was always a super fascinating player to me because I did, like, when the Buccaneers drafted him in the second round, I was like, that's kind of wild, but I do see it because he seemed like he was going to be a transformational kicker, like, with the distance that he had. Mm-hmm. And it was just the mental part of this that went. And it never came back. It's not like he did not have the ability to do this. And so that when it comes to kickers and any of those positions in sports that are largely mental, I do get that kind of reticence where I'm like, until I see it come all the way back around, right? You can't put that thing back in the jar, right?
No.
Like, you can't put that toothpaste back in the tube.
We have experience with that here. You know, kickers here have started out with a bang, and then all of a sudden when it goes, and you can't recover. You get the yips. I mean, it's just as simple as that. I don't think he's there, but he's shown some signs of you're just not real confident in crucial situations.
But that does make me feel good that ultimately I come down to it and I'm starting to talk about the kicker and when it comes to any concerns that you have on the rosters. And to be fair, the ones that we brought up are foundational and they're ones that are going to matter greatly into what your success is if you can track the 2024 season and the successes and the failures that they had there to this year, right? If you bring those around and you go, all right, offensive line needs to be significantly better, and the tight ends are obviously tied into that, and they need to be better to make sure that you have, you know, the ways that the offense that scores enough points, score 20-plus points that helps you, you know, complement your defense and get the wins, not just in the regular season, not getting just to 11, 12, 13, 14 wins if you get there, but then going and competing against the likes of Buffalo, of Baltimore, of if Cincinnati gets their act together, Cincinnati, of course, Kansas City, right? Playing against those types of teams, you're going to need your offense to be at a higher level, and the offensive line and the tight ends are absolutely going to have to be better. But as you mentioned, like, it feels like there's pathways for those positions, and I don't think I'm in a place where I have the in that same way. And I'm very happy where we started, that Foley is back to make me feel entirely set on the defense, top to bottom, front to back, left to right.
No, I am set on the defense. This defense is good to go. There's not even going to be a whole lot of competition. In training camp, there's going to be a lot of competition on the offensive line. And I guess that's where I get the confidence, just sheer numbers. You have 17 dudes out there that are going to be fighting, maybe more by the time camp starts. Cam Robinson obviously there, but they brought in a guy that can also play some left tackle in the second round. So, and then there are other linemen out there, and we're going to hear from Nick Caserio. And one comment he made me go, whoa.
100%. You weren't the other one. Everybody went there. Great point. More importantly, who's going to be the long snapper?
Hey, they have a competition there.
Yeah.
They brought in Tucker Addington. And then they have they brought in Austin Brinkman, the off the street.
But we have been spoiled there, but that's another one that feels like you can make that one shake. To some degree, and maybe I'm just disrespecting the specialists, but I feel like that one is one of those ones that you can make shake. But 832 makes a great point. On the bright side, if the offensive line looks good in camp, you'll know that you actually have it's functional, because this defensive line is not going to tell no
100%.
Surprise, right? You're not going to have that telltale camp question of, or are they winning because the defense is bad, or are they winning because the offense is good?
You know what's really cool? We're talking about deep snapper and kicker.
Buddy.
It wasn't that long ago, Figgy. We're like, so who do you think is going to be the quarterback?
What a time. Yeah. What a time to be alive.
I will say, if deep snapper mess up a couple snaps,
yeah,
we are going to lose or you know
yes,
what.
Yes, we will.
Well, I mean, like, you're going to find the reason. I think the level of crash out is always going to be there. It's just, what are you crashing out about?
The thing is, John Weeks never had a bad snap.
Never.
Not once. Never seen it.
Never.
I want you to point me to the one time that it happened because it didn't. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Just getting going on a Wednesday. A lot of things to talk about in the show. Coming up next, let's talk about this. Jose Altuve last night. Oh, that was, he did not cover himself in glory. Is this just a rough patch that we're seeing from him? Or are we seeing signs of aging in a way that could be very problematic? Let's discuss that next. What's happening with you? It's a Wednesday here in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. You got John Lopez, myself, Reginald Atul, and Figgy Fig hanging out with you. Hope that you're having a good day to this point. Keep going with that. That same level of energy. Always get involved with the program by texting in 713-572-4610. How are you feeling about Jose Altuve? Does it feel like this is just a rough patch, or are we seeing the decline trademark Astros legend he did not have a good game yesterday. Let's put it very simply.
And yeah.
4-3 loss for the Astros that saw them dip right below 500 once again, 17-18. And he was a big part of why this ends up as a 4-3 loss as opposed to maybe a potential victory with a couple of instances offensively that were problematic. But it's not just this game. It's where he's been tracking generally as a player. But in this one, there was a couple of things that absolutely were, I don't know, mind-boggling and possibly blood-boiling if you were watching it.
Unsurprising? A little bit?
To some degree, a little unsurprising. One of them really kind of...
On the base paths, yeah.
Yeah, but, man, how are you feeling about Jose? Because, I mean, Jose was a huge topic of conversation when it came to the offseason. Obviously, you had a lot of moving and shaking, and one of the things that was done was you know, him moving to the outfield defensively, finding that particular change in order to keep his bat in the lineup, but also try and get some better defense because you knew that there was a level of decline that's inherent with a player of his age. But we're starting to see one of the things that we thought was a given in the bat really trend downwards for the man. And it typically, you know, the defense and the bat, or like defense, you know, was when it was going down, you could lean on some other things to make it up, and those things feel like they're going away somewhere.
Yeah, look, we got to talk about this, you know, because we are eventually, and now's as good a time as any, because this is not just because he turned 35 yesterday, which is one of those numbers.
Yeah, that was also one of those weird things. Hey, it's your birthday. What are you doing?
That's right. Why are you playing like that? 35 is one of those numbers where in any sport, you know, baseball, you know, tend to be maybe a little longer. You know, at 35, you're like, oh, people, there's that term, the wrong side of 35, you know. And so I tried to look at this not as, oh, he's 35. Well, he must be slowing down. So I did a little digging on here. The most obvious numbers, well, I often say, watch what they do, not what they say.
Certainly.
What they say is...
It's the best shape of my life.
Yeah, best shape of my life. He's still Jose Altuve, et cetera, et cetera. What they did was they moved him. What they did was they moved him from second base to the outfield. That wasn't an accident. You know, he moved. They moved him, however you want to put it. And then you look at the numbers since April 18th, because he started out terrific. I mean, we were looking at Jose Altuve as the only guy that was really doing anything offensively. Well, since April 18th, what's that, 3 weeks now at least?
Yeah.
He's batting 170, on-base percentage of .230, slugging percentage of .344.
Not okay. Good.
Okay.
Not good, Bob.
Okay. Not good, but also maybe a little rough patch. And you mentioned it when you did the tease for this segment. Is it just a rough patch or is he starting to show signs? That's why I want to talk about it. I want to talk through it, so to speak, as people like to say, because even if you set aside the base running blunder last night, which was typical Jose Altuve, things about him right now are just kind of signs. You know, he's played in 105 playoff games in his career. Since he's turned 30, he's played in 55 playoff games. That's a lot more wear and tear.
Oh, I hadn't seen you going from that perspective. Yeah, playing deeper into September and even into October.
Occasionally November. Since he's turned 30, he's played 55 high-pressure more games And which is a good thing because they've won a World Series, two World Series, and should have been three. And all that. But that's a lot. 105 extra games on a guy that's now 35 years old. So there's that. And then I did the trademark Reggie Atitoula deep dive into advanced numbers.
Why is that my trademark? Yeah. Okay, whatever.
Here's the analytics.
Wow. So I sound, that's
oh,
me?
No, that's
me. That's how
that's
I sound
me.
Now? No, I'm taking notes. I see you.
I think people sound like that whenever they bring up stats, like deep dive stats.
Yes.
Like, no, that's
like
one.
Adam Spillane.
That's
one. You can't make it sound cool.
That's
you
strike can. Number one figure. I see you.
He's writing it down.
Oh, man.
He's writing it down. So this is a number that I buy into occasionally, and it's the hard hit rate.
You know, yes.
The ball coming off his bat, 28.6% of his contact is hard hit. That ain't great. Strikeout rate, 18.6%. His legs are not what they once were either. Jose Altuve, the one thing you could say, he had bad base running, but he could steal some bases. He was super fast. You know where he ranks right now today in StatCast, what they call, it's basically speed. They call it sprint speed.
Mm-hmm.
218th.
Yeah.
He's not running like he used to.
44th percentile. He's below average as well.
He's not running like he used to. He's moved from second base. He was a defensive liability there. We'll see how it goes. It's going okay, I guess, in the outfield. He still makes base running errors. His batting average, it could be a bad stretch, a rough patch, as you called it, is way down. Is that a sign?
It feels like there's a lot of things that you're adding together that makes me go, ooh, this is scary, right? Like we're getting to a place where it's bad. The things that I'm trying to use to wipe away or bat away the possibility that we are seeing just larger decline as opposed to kind of rough patch. One is that I go back and I look at some of these things. Like one of the things I was looking at was also just like general bat speed, like how fast is he swinging the bat? And when it comes down to that over the last couple of years, it has been slower than I realized when it comes to like his bat
speed.
I
didn't notice it.
And that's the thing. It's like that might be where just kind of veteran savvy has allowed him, like with just the knowledge and the know-how of how to use the bat, especially with his particular, the size of the bat relative to his body and everything, the ways that he is able to manage himself in the batter's box. He's probably just figured out the way to handle that. So that helped me kind of easiest way. And I guess the other one is more of a question. How much do you think the move and the ways in which he is almost with like a childlike glee thrown himself into the new challenge of playing in the outfield might be taking some of his effort and energy mentally away from the offensive pursuits that he typically is giving you?
Maybe. No, I think that's definitely on the table. And one thing we have all learned is don't count out Jose Altuve. And so that's why I'm making it more like, hey, let's talk through this here, because I don't want to count out Jose Altuve. But what's the one thing that stands out of all those things I listed? He's 35 now, all these extra playoff games, his batting average and on-base percentage and slugging percentage since April 18th, the move from second base, et cetera, the hard hit rate. The one thing that's
the speed.
It's
the speed.
Yep.
Right. Because that has been like with the being a smaller body, that has been kind of the equalizing force for him. Right. Mm-hmm. Is the ways in which he could use that speed to leg some things out. I know that the hard hit rate is probably one of those ones that is up there, but it feels like everybody on this team just isn't hitting the ball hard, which makes me wonder like if this is something team wide. Like these are the things that I imagine people look at when they start clamoring for the hitting coach to be fired, is that there's something across the board that you're not seeing from this team. And so maybe you can put that there. The sprint speed is just one of those things that, hey, man, eventually you get slower. Mm-hmm. And it's showing up right now in that eventually he is indeed getting slower. And that might be the thing that also just makes it untenable with all the other stuff.
Yeah.
Right. All the other stuff that is kind of inherent is that you can't run your way out of it. You can't just leg out some things.
Yeah.
And you also can't make up for like, with all sorts of players, and I'll go to two players that immediately jump to mind for me in a different sport, cross sport, is quarterbacks, Cam Newton and Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Right. Cam Newton was a dude who was a physical specimen, right? And he never was a great thrower of the football. Well, he was a great thrower of the football. He was never like mechanically super sound. He was just super strong. And he was able to use that strength to overcome the lack of the strong mechanics. Up until them injuries took away some of that youthfulness. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it was very evident, because we remember him in New England, like, this just isn't good anymore.
Yeah.
And I remember that vividly, because I was a dude who was like, no, he's just injured. When he gets healthy again, like, the mechanics were never great. The strength will be there. No, the strength wasn't there, and it was just done for him. Juxtapose that with Peyton Manning, where he never had a great arm, and one of the things that he did was he fought his way through the game, and he was able to use, like, the brain portion of this to overcome the physical limitations. Which of those dudes feels more like it speaks to what Jose Altuve is, especially when it comes to that speed?
Yeah.
It feels like it's more Cam Newton.
It's more Cam Newton.
And it feels like if that's starting to go, I do wonder, like, especially when you talk about his base path etiquette, which has never been good.
Yeah. Right?
You're not making
base
up for that.
Base path etiquette. I like that.
You're not going to make that up with the speed. And I'm not saying that he's not smart enough or anything, because that'd be asinine, but I do want, like, at what point do you get to the place where he's an old dog and not going to learn the new tricks of how to do this properly?
Figgy, it's the speed, man. Like, all these other things, we've seen him have these patches and overcome them. Even the bat speed, he's got the savvy. He's got the Peyton Manning, you know, sort of knows what, you know, where the pitches are, can hit anything in and out of the zone occasionally. But here's the thing. The calendar just turned to May. It's May. It's early. That's me saying that. And his speed is already ranking him 218th, you know, in the bottom half, and that was one of his calling cards.
Yeah, and this is the part of the season where you're supposed to be kind of fresh.
Yeah,
like, this is the part of the season where you're supposed to have some juice to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, man, I'm starting to get concerned just all the way around, but him in particular, because again, one of the things that I keep looking at is he's supposed to be one of the guys that you hang this offense on, and even then, like, that was part of the impetus for kind of moving him back to kind of have him be in a place where he can be more of a guy that you lean on, and that's sliding, and it feels like as a team you're sliding, and the things that, you know, I guess in a way, the hooks that are supposed to keep you in those slide moments for the entirety of the team are also sliding, and that's real disconcerting. On top of the fact that, what the hell was he doing with that with that bunt? Did you see?
Yes.
Like, that was
that's
one of
the second day in a row that an Astros. I forget who did it the day before. It was like, why are you bunting number one? And then it's a pop up.
That was the thing more than anything. Like, maybe
that's the worst way to go out.
Oh,
too,
my
man.
Gosh!
You might get me on the idea that because the offense has been bad enough to where it's like, yo, we need to get to this small ball, get him on, get him over, get him.
Yeah.
All right, cool. What the actual hell was that? Was that bunt though? Like, I feel like you got to be able to put something better. Like,
yeah. That's second worst to a bunt strikeout.
Oh yes, you missed the ball.
So, anyways, I don't know that we have an answer, but it seems like 9-3. There's people that are holding out hope that it's a rough patch for him, and I mean, you got to hope that, because otherwise, like, what's the alternative here? Where does that put you as a team?
It's probably a rough patch, and I think he could kind of come back from this, but. You got to remember, he is 35, man.
Yep.
And we talked about the mileage.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying they need to move on from him, but you kind of got to start.
It's just one of those things you go, ooh.
You got to start thinking like he ain't going to be here forever.
Yeah.
Right. And the 281, move Altuve to DH at least until Yordan comes back. And it does feel like that's probably what's happening here. And you hope that maybe that ends up being
saves
the jump start.
Saves the legs a little bit,
too. Maybe that's the jump start of what gets him back. Going the way that you need to with the bat. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, inspired by Jose Altuve and the ways in which, once he takes off, that feeling that you have within you. What are some things in life that make you fear the worst? 713-572-4610. We'll discuss that next. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Let's get to our question of the day, inspired by Jose Altuve and that feeling you get when he takes off trying to steal a base. What are some things in life that always make you fear the worst? 713-572-4610. As when it comes down to it, like, I think you were watching that game yesterday, and I imagine that's how you felt in that moment where he takes off, where that ball barely squirts away.
Like 2 feet.
He's like, I'm going.
Like 2 feet away.
I'm going.
I can do this. No, don't do it. No, don't go. By the way, really good catcher. William Contreras.
Mm-hmm.
Woo, that guy's good. But nevertheless, don't go.
Just generally, are you in that place? Like, anytime, was it just the circumstance, or just anytime that he takes off, you fear the worst on it?
Yes.
Even in the right, like, where he made the right read and everything, you're like, it's not going to go well.
I thought of this question of the day in real time. Like, in real time. I was like, oh, no. Oh, yeah, of course. So things in life that, because it's every time he's on the base paths. Like, every time. I mean, is that not true?
No, I think you're right. I think you're right. I just wanted to make sure, make it official, get it on wax. How you felt about that? You feel like those Nuggets, Nuggets TV folks when Russ got the ball in his hands, like, hey, don't do something stupid. No, it's about to happen. Don't do that.
So what makes you fear the worst in life? Like everyday things, Figgy. The one I said earlier, the check engine light, I know better. I know it's just like it gets to 35,000 miles or whatever and the light automatically comes in because they want you to come in for a service, right? But I'm like, oh my gosh, the truck's going to explode. Like, oh Lord, it's all going to, I'm going to be on the side of the road, man.
Yeah, but that... Yeah, you know that it's like, hey, this is the timing of it, mm-hmm. right? This is when it's supposed to come up. But you just, I think more than anything, more than that, like when if we're talking about automotive stuff, it's that sound, like that funny sound happens.
That's what Figgy was saying.
It didn't even have to happen for a long time, but a funny sound happens. And you're just like, what is
that?
Oh,
and the brakes, whenever you hear the brakes squeak. And sometimes it was just because it was raining or whatever. Yeah. I'm like, oh, no, I need a brake job.
Sometimes it's not even my brakes because, you know, you're in Houston. There's a lot of different cars out here. Some of them well-maintained, some of them not. You just hear a squeal somewhere, and you're like, it better not be mine.
Yeah.
Like, I just pay for this. I'm not trying to get out here and do that again.
Yeah.
All right, for me, it's like, when your Wi-Fi is down for a moment, like whether it's just not connecting or something, I immediately go to, like, did I not pay something?
That's right. Oh, no.
Are there issues with accounts? Do I need to go check on things? Mm-hmm. Which I do in that moment. Like, you go and you start.
Absolutely.
Am I paid up?
Mm-hmm.
Is all the money there? Did money go to the right places?
Mm-hmm.
Like, immediately, I'm like, oh, no. Someone's gotten into my account.
Yeah.
Someone's messed some stuff up. Like, that's, I immediately go, but that's because of the finances, man. Finances are immediately take me to that place where I am worried for everything.
What about, Figgy, I'm curious on yours. I think. I won't say it because I think this is yours. What
is, do it have to do with potholes?
That's a good one. Go ahead.
Oh, so you're still in the, everybody's in the car mode?
Yeah. Not to me, when you hit a pothole and it just boom, man, now the fun's over.
They've turned the volume down on the radio.
Oh, yes. Everybody in the car got to be quiet. No more laughing. It's over.
It's
now
over.
We got to drive in silence.
We got to see if there's a flap.
Yeah, we got to make sure the car is fine.
Yeah.
About 5 minutes later, then I pop the music back up a little bit.
I was thinking, hey, man, can I see you after the show?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. When your boss is like, hey, I need to talk to you.
I would be sitting right here. And I see old Parker kind of going by the window. I'm like, oh, man.
What did I do?
Man, what went wrong?
What did I do?
Yeah. Well, actually, that goes further than your boss. Just anybody like, I need to talk to you. Like, if you need, just talk now. We are here. No, I need to talk to you later.
Or, hey, can you close the door?
Oh, Lord. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Nah, that's a good one right there. When this is, hey, grab that door.
Yes.
Like, oh, man.
From the 281, getting pulled over by a cop makes me feel like I'm about to die, even if it's getting pulled over for a 5 miles an hour speed limit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah. Like, just, hey, I just don't look at me. Just don't look at me, period.
No, I get scared every time, and I ain't doing nothing illegal.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not out here selling drugs or nothing like that, committing crime. Every time I get pulled, I'm like, oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
Or, hell, every time somebody, a cop get behind me, I'm like, oh.
That's it right there. Yeah.
Shh, be quiet.
Yeah.
You turning down the radio?
Yeah, everybody shut up. The cop's behind me.
He might hear you.
That is without fail every
time.
The
kids always try to look back, like, don't turn around.
Don't look
at
it.
Yeah, put your damn seatbelt on. Why would you turn around when the cop behind us? Meanwhile, that cop on the phone, he ain't even paying you no attention.
Oh, 281 with a great one, an absolutely great one. Because, you know, we share our debit cards. And you get, like, the alert, hey, the $348 charge. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. And then so I start texting, you know, hey, did you do this? No, did you do? Oh, that was an automatic deduction. Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Any debit card notice, I'm like, oh, somebody got my information. I'm going to be broke.
No, somebody just shared a good one. I can't find it now, but he pretty much said when the fiance texts you, we need to talk.
Mm-hmm.
That would drive me. If my wife texts me right now, hey, we need to talk. I'm like, talk about what? I would call. Like, what's going on? What's up? What happened? I'm like, oh, nothing really. I was just going to talk to you, but like, what you want for dinner? Like, why would you text me that? Just ask me what I want for dinner.
People do that so frequently, too.
We need to talk.
Yeah.
I'm like, talk about what's up? Talk about what?
832, when the doctor comes in and asks you to have a seat, like, oh, no. It's cancer, isn't it?
Are you that type of person?
Oh,
are
yeah.
You?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not in that place at all. Like,
I was definitely in that place around COVID.
Yeah.
When COVID was hot and heavy.
Yeah.
Man, like, this is how you know, because my doctor is real strict. Like, mm-hmm. if you got something, she coming in a hazmat suit.
So, really?
Yeah, so it was one time I wasn't sure what I had.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, if she come in a hazmat suit, then it's over. What'd she do? She came in a hazmat suit. I'm like, oh, my God. Oh.
It's over.
Like, oh, you turn into Red Fox.
It's over.
Yeah, she was cracking up.
Elizabeth.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, man. Oh, God.
And she says, no, you got the flu.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
I do wonder, like, how much of that happens in sports for you? Because I remember vividly somebody, there was a time that I had used the breaking news sounder
mm-hmm.
a little recklessly.
Oh,
about
yeah.
a minute. And people, as soon as they hear that breaking news sound, they're like, oh, gosh, what did the Texans do? Oh, no, who's gone for the season? Like, I do wonder, are there things in the sports realm?
I got a good sports one. Mm-hmm. When you see CJ Stroud get hit a little too hard. And it's fourth and 25.
And he kind of rolls
limping
over.
He's limping off the field. Yeah. And then you see Davis Mills with the helmet. You're like, oh, man. Oh, no, CJ, come on, man, CJ.
Oh, yeah, anytime the backup's like, let me warm up a little bit. You're like, no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, you just like, oh, God, Davis Mills warming up. Oh, man.
Steven Adams shooting free throws?
I don't feel the worst.
Yeah.
I feel good.
I was always like, come on now. Bend your knees. Bend your knees.
What, you trying to talk to this, talking through it? Oh, my goodness. Someone said from the 713, mom calls and says, so what are you doing? That means you know you're getting bad news. Really?
Maybe.
No, I think I told y'all about this. When my mom called me during the show, like three times, I'm like, somebody died.
That's the answer.
So I would step off to the side like, hey, what's up? What happened?
Yeah.
I'm not, what you doing? I'm like, I'm at work. Oh, I ain't want nothing. I'm like, why would you do that?
It's the multiple calls. Because for me, like, I talk to my mom relatively regularly. So, like, there's some people that's like, as soon as they see a call from the parent, they're like, oh, no. So, sometimes she'll call and just not know what I'm doing. And it'll be, but like when I get that call back
to,
like,
back to back,
yes,
yeah. Somebody died.
There's
somebody's
problems.
Hurt. Yeah, it's issues. I need to catch a flight.
The 832. There's a lot going on in your life. I'm guessing. 832. Yeah. There's a lot going on in your life.
Laying in bed afterwards. I got something to tell you. Yeah, I got something to tell you. It's just that's another level. Oh, this is a great one from Chuck, because this is absolutely me, and I stemmed from my grandmother. The very second you can't see your wallet, you assume that you lose everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Start thinking you have to cancel cards.
I take it a step further. If I leave the house and I don't have my wallet, oh my God. I'm sweating like crazy. Yeah. I'm like, we got to get back home. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't be out here without my ID.
Mm-hmm.
Right. No identification. We're moving around these streets.
I'm like, you know what would happen if a cop pull you over and you have no ID?
You're going downtown. You have to go to a precinct.
Yeah, I would tell my kids that, like, you got to have ID everywhere you go.
Right. No, but yes, I 100%. My grandmother was one of those people where, I mean, God rest the dead, but she was very much that person. If she didn't find it, she's like, they came in my house and they stole it.
Oh, that's
they
true.
They stole it. Yeah. And people, it was that person I saw. I was like, grandmother, you are a pack rat. You got stuff all sorts of places. You don't remember where you saved
that. I'll tell you one that happened yesterday. I got the Ring notification. Someone is at your door. I went, oh.
See, and that's why
it was Amazon.
That's why I really do hate, like, the camera thing. And I get, like, it's become very popular in our society. I just go, to what end? Right?
Yeah, but someone is at your front door.
I got one 3 a.m.
Oh, Lord.
We both was up like, who is, what's going on? It was a doggone stray dog.
You're not about to do nothing about it if somebody was in there and you weren't there.
You don't know that.
You're not about to do nothing about it. Now you just make yourself anxious for no reason. You're going and checking film and video.
Speaking of that, like, that's the worst part about it. Like, seeing somebody at your door and nobody's home.
Yeah.
And ain't nothing you can do about it.
But you can call. And call the police.
Man, but my anxiety would be going through the roof right now.
Ocho has a great one that has to do with sports. When the Astros say discomfort.
That's true.
That's some real anxiety
Speaking
right there.
Speaking of which, there is some.
Yeah, well, I mean, well, one of those was Yordan going on the IL after having a couple days. But yeah, he's apparently the MRI results show that he has a muscle strain on top of his right hand So he just needs rest, supposedly, according to the Astros, which I know then does not lend.
Key element, according to the Astros.
That's right. Espada did say that they hope it won't be longer than the 10 days that'll be on the IL.
Well, we all hope that.
That's right. That's right. Somebody said, for the old schools, getting that page with the phone number followed by 911. Oh, yeah, that's...
Well, that's real.
Yeah, I was like,
yeah, that's real.
Yeah, you.
Although, I guess it could be like, hey, I forgot, you know, to pick up lettuce or something.
You're using the wrong code.
That's right.
It's not the right code to send. Yeah. And then when you put your phone in the wrong pocket, yeah, you just... It's in the wrong space, and you lose your mind. Like, oh, no, where'd I lose it? All right. Yeah. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL, including... it's been a pretty good football news day all the way around. Let's get into some of that, including the Cowboys. Seems like they did a good thing. We'll do it next.